Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COB is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Welcome to the COB. It is the 23rd of November. It is a Monday afternoon, and we're very pleased to be here with you. We being myself, Nadine Blaney. I just spoke on your behalf, Scuddy.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah. You can do the podcast by yourself. I'll go now. See you later, guys.
No. Okay. So, look, a pretty solid session for the local market. I feel a bit bad because in our last little piece on air, we were sort of poo-pooing the fact that it didn't do much after lunch. But boy, we might be expecting a lot out of this little market.
Maybe. But the chart looked like it was a long lunch for the market just in general today. So, I had a nice little pop at the open. No, that was mirroring what we saw in futures. And after midday, it basically just stalled. But as you said, we can't go and discount another game. So it looks like we're on track for our best November, I think it is, in 32 years.
Yeah, I had that stat as well.
There we go. But of course, it's not the end of the month, so we probably shouldn't be cracking the champagne open just yet.
No, and I was reading some analysis that there could be some, you know, some selling, some end of month sort of shenanigans that might take the gloss off.
Yeah, the rebalancing trade because of course, a lot of managed funds that are out there have to go and keep their shape, as it's called. Mm-hmm. When equities have had such a boom over the month, they're a little bit more overweight than potentially they're allowed to be. So one to go watch, but I think we're picking it. So no, things. There's been a very strong month at least so far.
It has been a very strong month. Some put it down to the U.S. election, which the outcome is still unknown. However, Joe Biden is going ahead and making some of his picks. He said he's going to be coming out with more of those around Thanksgiving, which, of course, just have in the back of your mind, it's Thanksgiving weekend. So that means that it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday, shortened trading week.
It's going to be a shortened trading week. It's going to be interesting to see how what happens, particularly around that Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. I'm looking at the numbers. I know that the deaths are still not at the pre level that we saw in the last wave, but I just wonder, we're not even in winter yet.
And people are traveling.
Yeah.
It's unreal. It's
recipe for disaster. And I can understand why. Not only we've got the United States, the Fed and the Treasury Secretary having a fight, robbing Peter to pay Paul, it seems like, when it comes to potential stimulus from one entity to another. But those near-term headwinds from COVID, just truly troubling. Let's hope that things aren't going to be dire over Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, but it is going to get a lot colder. And we know that the virus tends to thrive in that environment.
Okay. Look, before we get too down on COVID, good reason why, we have pretty dismal numbers coming out of the UK, although the UK will not be enforcing, strict lockdown or self-quarantining, that 14-day quarantine.
It's troubling in itself.
Yeah. It's really sort of uncharted territory that we're in right now. Donut days, though, for New South Wales and Victoria. So let's just start the positivity there. Also, if I just bring us back to equities, Scuddy, Fortescue up by 3.5%, BHP up by 2.8%. Really strong performances in that sector and really strong performance coming through when it comes to the price of iron ore.
Yes, it's remarkable. But I found it interesting today. So I went and put a tweet out and just showed the increase in Chinese iron ore futures over the weekend on Friday's night session. Big pop closed at record highs for the January 2021 contract. And then today, when it opens, that contract started to go and slide, but the market just ignored it. The iron ore miners just kept flying higher. So it's a really interesting space. I'm looking at the iron ore price and looking at how far above its marginal production costs are. So you're talking about probably mid-50s. More experts in the field can go and probably nail it to the actual dollar. But let's put it this way. Almost every single iron ore miner out there at the moment is making money, which is unheard of. Lots of demand coming through. But I just wonder whether this might be the last hurrah in this iron ore rally. We've seen a lot of tailwinds. We saw no disruptions from Brazil a couple of times. We saw some disruptions here. And you overlay that with some really, really strong Chinese demand. But at the moment,
port inventories are building. you know, there are signals that it can't continue at this pace going forward.
And I just wonder whether this is like, you know, a time that some astute investors might be thinking, well, potentially we've got the vaccine news. We know there's going to be a lot of infrastructure rolled out around the world, not necessarily just iron ore to go and make steel. So I just wonder whether there may be some better opportunities out there at the moment. Maybe the iron ore pop that we're seeing today might be that opportunity to go and offload a bit, trim your portfolio and potentially move into something else.
I know that the guys at Sean Partners have been advocating that when it comes to Fortescue as well.
Yeah,
but
I'm not the first to go and talk about this trade. I freely admit that. But I've been surprised at the resilience of it as well. Yeah. But we've got what looks like it's going to be a pretty cold winter in China this year. That's going to go and crimp steel demand. We know that it's icy conditions in the northern parts of that country. Makes it very difficult to go and to break ground, to go and build things in that environment. And we know that's already that the iron ore port industries are building. You put that into supply disruptions in Brazil and now pretty much ease and back to getting towards sort of levels that we expect. We're seeing Brazilian ore at ports starting to go and build. So I'm just wondering now what's actually keeping this iron ore price at these kind of levels. You can see where the other risks are and they are to the downside.
Okay, so that's a good digestion of the iron ore scenario as it sits right now. Why don't we get to our stock of the day, shall we? Because it was one of the best performers today on the market. Ample, $300 million share buyback. That doesn't hurt sentiment, you've got to say. So it was the stock of the day. Kashi sat down to discuss with Gaurav Sodhi from The Intelligent Investor and Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. Let's hear what they had to say about Ample. ALD is the ticker code.
Well-managed business. They've got a big task ahead of them to maintain profitability in the face of what looks to be structural change. But at the right price, there's still
opportunities. Is $30 the right price?
Look, this is business probably going to be taken over at about $35 or so. So I would suggest there's pretty good dividends coming out of this. And I would say for the conservative investor, there is still a buying opportunity here.
Okay.
For most investors who want higher rates of return,
right,
I think I'd look somewhere else.
This has been one of the stocks that I've loved for a while. It actually comes up really well quantitatively. I'm a buyer here, I have been, and this is one of our holdings that we like, medium to long term. The dynamics haven't changed. And the other thing to remember is, it doesn't matter what the oil price is, they just put the margin and then clip us.
So
it's one of those things where you get ripped off one way or another. Yeah. So it's a good way to
and
do it.
And the margins have been increasing a bit. ComSec put out sort of a weekly report on
as they shut down their refineries.
Yes.
They are more open to currency, which we cannot work out, so they can gouge us even more. So it's a great way. Yeah.
Okay.
So look, I think it's a good buy.
And that was Mathan Somasundaram finishing off those thoughts on Ample. Ring the bell. It's going in the fund.
It's going in the fund. I remember back as a kid, we used to have an Ample in my local hood in Linfield where I grew up. And I remember the slogan was like, I'm as Australian as Ample.
Oh.
And I always thought like, yeah, we never drove there, never went into it. But just reminded as a kid, hearing the guys talk about it then.
Didn't your mum used to buy ice creams or something at the Ample?
No, we had our loyalty to Mobile, I think it was.
Okay.
And then I ended up working there for a while going through uni. So that brand loyalty, I can tell you, has not extended.
Well, I learn a new thing about you every day, don't I? All right, Ample was up by close to 5%. Best performer of the day was Miso Blast, up by close to 18%. So it's got a couple of broker moves after its announcement last week of that tie-up with Novartis, I think it is, and also coming through with its results. Now, one of the worst performers, in fact, the worst performer, was IAG. So IAG, talking about provisioning with that business interruption court case that came through last week. And we've got some brokers really downgrading the company off the back of that. And that includes Macquarie. So that's stock specifics. Actually, in fact, if you want even more stock specifics, check out the interviews that are available via the show notes. We've got Ron Shamgar giving us his top three stock picks for the consumer finance sector. And we had a good conversation earlier today with James McBeath. He's a PM at Paradice Investment Management. And I was a little cheeky. I mean, we talked about big picture. We talked about market direction, the rotation, and that we're seeing into some more cyclical areas of the market. But I was cheeky. I said, I sort of made him give me the name of a company that he says they're doing a lot of work on right now. And again, you can access that via the show notes. What else can we talk about, Scuddy? I mean, we've got a whole lot of global PMIs coming through tonight. Starts tonight. What do you think we'll be making of it tomorrow?
Good question. I suspect that the manufacturing side of the equation will be pretty punchy results and probably going from strength to strength. We know that demand is picking up in a lot of places in the world, even with the headwinds of COVID. But I'm more interested in what's going on with the service side of the economy. It employs a lot more people in Europe and the United States. Within that, I'm looking at things like new orders, and I'm looking at the employment sub-index as well to go and give a bit of clues as to what's going on there. We know that the labour market is such a key piece of the puzzle when it comes to the recovery story next year.
Okay. Here we get trade balance released by the ABS. So we start to get some of these GDP partials coming through. You just looked a little excited about that. Talk to me. Tell me all about it, Scotty.
The trade figures are always great. So we'll get a bit of a reader here as to what's likely to be seen when it comes to the trade component when it comes to the next GDP report for Q3. I think it's going to be negative reading a lot of the things that I've seen so far, which is a bit of a turn up for the books considering what we've seen in recent years where net trade has delivered really strong growth. But always interested to see what's going on when it comes, particularly the bulk commodity prices going through, volumes going through as well. Always lots to go and digest there. And, of course, we have CapEx figures released later in the week.
We give RBA Guy DeBell, the assistant governor, speaking tomorrow in a speech entitled Monetary Policy in 2020. They need a headline writer, but that's an aside. And he'll be delivering that speech at the Australian Business Economists webinar. So we'll keep an ear tuned to that. We'll likely bring you there virtually if we're able to. We've had a lot of commentary coming from the RBA, but still, we want to know more about their thinking about monetary policy in 2020. Got a great lineup of guests to continue on from today, as per usual. We'll be speaking with John Garrett. He's from Moelis Australia. Moelis Australia, he's the MD there. So we'll be talking plenty about, the post-election mood on markets and where to from here. We will be speaking with Dr. Chris Hart, who's CEO of Aventis Medical. So it has announced a new partnership to put the company into the US. So we like talking to some of those smaller cap names as well here on AusBiz. I know that you guys, a lot of our viewers, our listeners, find those really interesting as well. And we'll be speaking Can Group. So Can Group recently secured a $50 million loan from the NAB. So to power its state-of-the-art medical cannabis factory near Mildura. So we'll find out a little bit about that. You had a good conversation with the ProMedicus CEO today. What was the sort of takeaway for investors from that one?
We saw some very positive tailwinds for the company from the coronavirus pandemic this year. And he's feeling pretty confident that they can continue next year, even though the likelihood of a vaccine will be rolled out. So obviously winning a lot of contracts at the moment, focused on the university medical center sector as well. But you look at where the potential is, and you talk about changes of behavior moving forward, having the ability for radiologists and people who look at scans to go and look at things remotely and be able to still do their job, you can see where potentially there might be some growth opportunities moving forward.
Yeah, this company gets a lot of our regular guests excited. The share price did not do that well today, down by 0.6%. But if you'd like to listen to that, it's available via the show notes as well. Hey, listen, I think that's a wrap for this Monday afternoon. Scotty, nice to see you.
As always, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Look forward to it.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.